southern India, there was a very wealthy kingdom. The king and queen had a son. The son grew up, cared for by a loving family, in a very wealthy environment. He was well educated. He had everything a person could want. He grew up in luxury. He knew nothing of poverty, of unhappiness, of sickness, or death. He only knew the good things in life. But he felt something was missing. One day, he went out of his palace, and he saw death, sickness. He saw unhappiness. When he asked about an old man who had died, he was told, this happens to everybody. He had never seen death before. He realized his father would die, his wife would die, he would die. And he wondered what this was all about. He wondered how he could help other people. He went into the forest, and for 6 years, he gave up everything. He renounced his kingship. He left this very young baby at home with his wife. He gave up his wealth. He gave up everything to try to learn how he could help other people. After 6 years, he had practiced giving up everything so much to the point where he was about to die. He heard somebody talking, and the voice said, if you have a lute and you string that lute too tightly, the strings of the lute will break. But if you do not string that lute tightly enough, it won't make any good sound. You have to string those strings just right. Tune them very carefully. Balance them. Then you have an instrument that will play beautifully. He realized the life of luxury was not the answer, but giving up everything was not the answer either. He realized the middle path, neither excess on one side or giving up too much on the other, but living in the middle, balancing our lives, having enough, but not using more than we needed. The essence of Buddha Shakyamuni's teachings can be summed up into three very, very short phrases. Do nothing that is evil. Do everything that is good. Purify the mind. He taught for 49 years. His teachings are unbelievably profound. They are also just this simple. Nothing that is bad, everything that is good, purify the mind. I heard that when I came here, Brother Michael told me that a beautiful kingfisher had died, having crashed into a window this morning. Buddha Shakyamuni taught us about life and death and why things happen to us. Our lives are destined. They are destined not by outside forces. They are destined by what we have done in our previous lives. We have lived many lifetimes. In those lifetimes, we have done much that is good. but we have done much that is bad. We have hurt others, but we have helped others. We are here now, all together, because of what we have done in previous lifetimes. Our lives are destined, where we will live, how we will live, and when we will die. But even though our lives are destined, even though that bird was destined to die today, we can change that destiny. As humans, we have free will. We can learn. That's the reason we're all here today, to learn. We can learn that everything that happens to us, every thought, word, and deed, everything we do will come back to us in the future. Everything that we're undergoing now and we're experiencing now is because of what we did in a former lifetime. We are born as animals. We are born in the hell realms. We are born in the heavens. We're born in the human realms. In reincarnation, we keep going through this circle in all the realms. As we do good, we rise up in the realms and go to better and better realms. As we do good and we have good lives, we tend to get a little lazy and we tend to enjoy our good lives and not work as hard. We tend to think more about self-enjoyment and less about how we can help others. We become a little more greedy, a little more selfish. We start doing more things that hurt others. We start doing more things that are wrong. Those lead us to be born into the lower realms again. And that's why we're constantly sinking down in the realms, paying off the debts that we owe, and then rising up through those realms again. Why are we born in the hell realms? Because of anger. Why are we born in the animal realm? Because of ignorance. Let me tell you a story about being born in the animal realm. A long, long time ago, there was a priest in a well-known, highly respected religion. And the priest decided there was going to be a very special festival. It was the day to celebrate, and the celebration would include sacrificing a goat. So he told his attendants, go get one of the goats, take the goat down to the river, wash him very carefully, dress him in flowers, bring him back, and have him here in time for the ceremony. The attendants went, got the goat, took the goat down to the river. As they were washing the goat suddenly started to laugh. The attendants looked at each other and said, why is this goat laughing? They asked the goat, why? What's so funny? Why are you laughing? The goat said, I have been born 499 times as a goat. But I just realized that today is the last time I will be born as a goat. A long time ago, I did something, and that's why I have been born as a goat. And then the goat suddenly started to cry. The attendant said, "Why are you crying?" And the goat said, "Take me to your priest, and I will tell him and you why I am crying." They took the goat to the priest and told the priest everything that had happened. The priest said, "Sir goat, why did you laugh, and why now are you crying?" The goat replied, "I remembered that in my previous lifetimes I had been a goat, but I remembered why I had been born as a goat. Many lifetimes ago, I had been a priest in a well-respected religion, and I had decided that today was the day to sacrifice a goat. So I had a goat prepared and brought in, and I had the goat beheaded. For 499 lifetimes, I have lived as a goat. I have had my head cut off. Today, for the 500th time, I will have my head cut off. And then my debt will be repaid, and I will no longer be born as a goat. But you are about to commit the same offense that I committed, and you will suffer the same 500 lifetimes of beheadings that I have suffered, and that is why I began to cry." The priest thought, just maybe the goat was right. And he decided to change his mind. He said, "Sir goat, I will not kill you today. I will protect you. You will not die today." The goat looked at the priest and said, "No. Your power is not nearly as powerful as the debt, the karma that I owe. I will die today. My head will be cut off. You can do nothing to stop this." The priest said, "I will stop this." He called in guards. He said, "We will follow you the rest of the day. Nothing will happen. We will protect you." They went outside the temple. The goat saw some grass near a mountain. He went over and started to eat the grass. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a thunderstorm blew in. There was a flash of lightning. The flash of lightning hit a ledge, a stone fell off. It hit the goat on the neck. It cut off the goat's head. The goat died instantly. A nearby fairy was watching this, and he saw all the people standing there questioning why this had happened. And the fairy came in and said, "The goat had a debt that had to be repaid. He was destined to die today. The reason he was born as a goat was because of ignorance, because he thought that killing another was the proper way to show respect to his God. He did not know that killing another, even if that other happens to be an animal, is wrong. But he has paid off his debt. He will no longer be born in the next lifetime as a goat." The people decided that killing was wrong, and the priest never killed a goat from then on in his lifetime. Ignorance was the cause of the goat, of the priest being born a goat. And ignorance is why we are born as animals. But when we repay the debt and when we work off our negative karma, we rise into the higher realm. Why are we born as humans? Because we have done good things in the past. We are all here in Singapore because we have practiced goodness in our past lives. And that is why we are in a country in a time of peace, in a time where we can learn, where we can have good teachers to learn from. What do we learn in this lifetime? We have given you a book, Liao Fan's Four Lessons. This book was written, the text within this book was written 500 years ago. The book around the text is a commentary. Anything told by the Buddha is the truth. But Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, enlightened beings, would recognize as the truth anything that is told by others who accords with true principles. And the principles in this book are the truth. So even though this book was not directly spoken by the Buddha, this book helps us to learn what the Buddha taught. The book was written by a father to a son. The father had had his future predicted. When he was young, he went to a temple, and a gentleman came up to him and said, "I can foretell the future. I know you're supposed to be studying for the exams. Why aren't you?" Mr. Liao Fan went home to his mother and said, "I just met a man who told me I'm supposed to be studying for the exam. And he told me he could predict my future." His mother, who was very wise, said, "Treat him respectfully, but don't just believe what he says just because he says, believe me. We need to trust him, to test him first before we trust him." She said, "Let's have him predict some things for the next few weeks, the next few days, and see what happens." Mr. Kong, who was the gentleman's name, predicted what would happen for the near future. Everything turned out exactly as he said it would. Mr. Liao Fan said, "Okay, he told me something. He proved what he said was true. I can believe him." Mr. Liao Fan said, "Great, what's going to happen the rest of my life?" Mr. Kong told him everything. He even told him something every one of us would like to know. When is the next exam? Am I going to pass or fail? If I pass, what rank will I attain? What job am I going to have? Will I get married? Will I have a son? Mr. Kong told him, "You will pass certain exams on such and such a date, you will attain a certain rank. You will get married, you will not have a son. You will die at the age of 53. On a certain day in August, between 1 and 3 o'clock in the morning." Now, as I mentioned, Mr. Lao Fan was writing this book to his son. But I just told you, his prediction was he was destined not to have a son. What happened? Was the prediction wrong? No. Mr. Lao Fan first learned that everything is destined. But after many years of just going with what was supposed to happen, he went to a mountain, and there he met a Zen master. He went to the Zen master, and they sat in meditation for 3 days without food, water, sleeping. After 3 days, the master, who had been sitting opposite Mr. Lao Fan, said, "I'm very impressed. Very few people of your age can sit here for 3 days like you have done. How are you able to do this?" Mr. Lao Fan very honestly said, "I've had my future predicted. There's no need to worry about it. I know what's going to happen." The master smiled and chuckled and said, "I thought you were somebody who was exceptional, but you're really very ordinary. You've just gone along with your destiny. You have done nothing to change it, to improve it." Mr. Lao Fan said, "Excuse me? I didn't know we could change our destiny. How?" The Zen master said, "Okay, I'll teach you how. First, find out every one of your faults. Then, begin to correct those faults. Then, you start to change. And the first way to change is through behavior. For example," this is the Zen master speaking, "this is my example, anger. Does anybody here ever get angry? Okay, I see a few heads going, yeah. Probably some of us have experienced some anger at some point in our lifetimes. Anger is very difficult to control. We'll be in a perfectly good mood. Somebody says one little thing to us and anger flares up. We lose our temper before we have a chance to do anything. And then we stay angry. We keep thinking about it. And we get more angry. And it takes us certain amount of time before we get over our anger and become happy again." Master Yuan Gu said the way to change things such as anger is to change through behavior. But this is very difficult, because by the time we realize that we're getting angry, we're already angry. It's too late to change from behavior. It's already happened. We're angry. The master then said, "Okay, the next way to change our bad habits is to change through reasoning. We understand cause and effect. The law of cause and effect says, if I get angry with you, then in the future, you will get angry with me. And this goes back and forth. Why does this happen? Because one lifetime, many lifetimes ago, I said something without thinking. And what I said hurt your feelings. And I wasn't even aware of it. But your feelings were hurt. And that was it. It didn't go any further. In the next lifetime, you said something to me, but you wanted to hurt my feelings intentionally. Remember, everything that we do, every thought, word, deed, comes back to us. So when I put out anger, it comes back to me. Even if I caused your anger unintentionally, unknowingly, I didn't think. So I caused the anger. This goes back and forth. Every time we meet, it grows stronger and stronger. After a while, just saying something to each other is not enough to make us feel better. One of us will hit the other. The next lifetime when we meet, we will get into a fight. This continues to go back and forth. In one lifetime, one of us will kill the other. Understanding that each lifetime we meet, everything grows stronger, goes back and forth, unless we sever it, unless we stop it. When we feel the anger, understand the reasoning. If for no other reason, we do not want to get angry, because if we do, that anger will come back to us in a future lifetime. And most of us would rather be happy and laughing than angry. And we'd rather be feeling cheerful and enjoying ourselves than feeling miserable, angry, and upset. Understanding everything comes back to us. At least, if we can't stop the anger before it suddenly flares up, we can understand, okay, I got angry. Not supposed to get angry, but I did. I'm human. But I need to calm down as quickly as possible. I need to get over this. Because every second I remain angry, I'm creating anger in my future. So the second way to change is through reasoning. I understand when I'm angry now, I'm going to be angry in the future. If I'm happy now, and I'm laughing, and I'm in a good mood, that's what my future will be. This is the second way of changing. The third way of changing is the best way, the most difficult way to change, but the most successful way. That is to change from the heart. It is to understand, okay, if I get angry, then I'm going to take my anger out on other people. So I ruin my day, I ruin their day. Plus, when I get angry, I radiate anger. Others who are around me don't need to be the object of my anger. They can just feel it. There are some people in our lives that we can be around that we just feel very good being around. They're always in a good mood. They're always cheerful. They're always calm. They never get upset. We feel good being around them. Other people just radiate unhappiness, and we just don't like being around them. We're picking up on their thoughts. We're not aware of it. It's all subconscious. But our subconscious is picking up on those feelings. We radiate those feelings as well. Understanding this, understanding that every thought we have is not just felt by people standing in the room with us, but every thought we have instantly pervades the entire universe. Thought waves travel quicker than electric waves, radio waves, television waves, any other waves that we can currently measure with instruments. Thought waves travel instantly. Understanding this, we will understand when I get upset, I affect negatively beings throughout the universe. I make a lot of people upset, a lot of living beings upset. Once we understand this, we will instinctively change inside without having to think every time, and automatically we will change. This is the best way to change. This is the best way to change our destiny. Because the way to change our destiny is to quit thinking about me. What's in it for me? Myself, mine. It's to start thinking only about others and to stop having set thoughts of, if I do something for others, I'm going to get something back. It's to do something for others without even thinking of the self. This is very, very difficult because we have been thinking of ourselves, not just for this lifetime, we have been thinking of ourselves for uncountable lifetimes. This is a very difficult habit to break because we've had it for a long time. But this is the way that we change what is destined to happen to us. We do this by giving. We are taught there are three basic types of giving. The first is wealth. And when I say the giving of wealth, most people think of taking out a checkbook, opening their pocket, taking out some money, and giving it. This is only one kind of the giving of wealth. Another giving of wealth is to help somebody when they need help. It's simply when we see somebody needs assistance, we just do something, whatever they need to help them. When they're trying to do something right, we help them. This is another form of giving. The second form of giving is the giving of teaching. The giving of teaching is to give what we know to others. Not just religious teachings or teaching about Buddhism. It's teaching anything we know that somebody else does not know. When we give, remember the law of cause and effect, what we give comes back to us. What we do to others or for others comes back to us. When we give wealth, we receive wealth. When we give teaching to others, we gain wisdom If we want to be wise, intelligent in the future, we help teach others now. Each of us has something we are very good at that others are not as good at. When they indicate they want to learn, we teach them and we help them. This is the way we become intelligent in the future. But if we know something and we choose not to teach, not to share that with somebody, the result is ignorance. Remember, ignorance was why the priest had been born as a goat 500 lifetimes. When others wish to learn, we help them learn. This is how we become more intelligent in the future. The third kind of giving is that of fearlessness. There are many kinds of the giving of fearlessness. Freeing animals that have been captured is one kind of the giving of fearlessness. Another giving is if somebody's nervous about going home at night, we walk them home. Anything that calms the anxieties of others, others' insecurities, is the giving of fearlessness. If somebody is upset, we smile at them. That is the giving of fearlessness. We do not have to have great wealth to give to others. What is important in giving is why we are giving. If I'm giving because I think, okay, if I give them money, then I'm going to get money back. This will get some money back, but it will be very, very limited. Everything arises from our mind. When we give sincerely, not to benefit ourselves, but to help others, when we're not thinking of ourselves, we're simply trying to do something for another person. When we do this, what we get back is much, much more than what we give. Because then we don't just benefit one person, we benefit many people. In our lives, when we practice giving, we need to also practice patience and diligence. We need to practice concentration. What is concentration? A king was trying to teach an advisor about patience and concentration. The advisor was not learning concentration. The king said, okay, I'm going to give you a bowl of oil. This bowl is filled with oil. If you spill one drop, I'm going to kill you. Okay, he had the advisor's attention. He said, now, you take that bowl, you walk 10 miles into town, and you walk 10 miles back, you spill one drop, and you're dead. The advisor's attention was on that bowl. But the king wanted to be sure he learned this lesson. So he took his musicians, and he told all the ladies of the court who were dancers, and he said, go line the road and dance, play music, do everything you can to distract this advisor. He told the advisor, okay, go to town, come back. Don't spill one drop or you're in big trouble. The advisor took the bowl and he looked at that bowl. He concentrated on that bowl. He walked into town. He came back. He very carefully handed the bowl to the king. The king looked at it and said, looks like it's all there. Say, what'd you think about the musicians and the dancers? The advisor said, what musicians? What dancers? I didn't see anything. I saw a bowl. That's all I saw. He concentrated. He had one thing that he was thinking of, just one thing. He was not distracted by anything else. He had no wandering thoughts. He developed concentration. Wandering thoughts are what interrupt what we are trying to do. Wandering thoughts are what happens when we sit down and we know we have an exam next week. But there are so many things to think about, and we have so much time between now and next week. We cannot concentrate on what we are supposed to concentrate on. We have all these wandering thoughts. We need concentration to be able to study and to do well in our studies. We were talking yesterday about a boy who was being tutored because he had difficulty passing exams, and another exam was coming up. So he worked with a tutor. And the tutor was very good and very caring. And he worked very well with the boy. But the day before the exam, the boy went and said, I've only worked with you a month. There is so much to learn. I can't remember all this. I'm going to forget everything. I'm going to sit down and look at that paper. My mind will go blank. And I won't remember anything. And I'm going to fail again. The tutor said, okay, I'm going to give you something that you concentrate on. You chant. And he told him what to chant. The boy was a Buddhist. So he said, chant to great compassion, Bodhisattva. And concentrate on the chanting. Focus on that. Don't have any wandering thoughts. Concentrate your mind. When you concentrate your mind, your wandering thoughts will reduce. You really know everything you need to know. You've heard everything. You have great knowledge inside of you, but you get nervous, you get worried, you have wandering thoughts, you forget everything. Concentrate on Great Compassion Bodhisattva's name. The little boy listened to his tutor. And after the exam, when the results came out, he called up the tutor and said, I passed. He had concentrated. Concentration will allow us to do anything, whether it's passing an exam, working in our daily lives, trying to get our work done when we're adults. We need to concentrate. We concentrate by chanting Amitabha. Others concentrate on other things. You could read the Bible for a half hour before an exam. Read something some religious teaching that helps you concentrate. This will calm down wandering thoughts. You know what you need to know to pass the exam. But we get nervous, and we have wandering thoughts, and we don't concentrate. The master taught Mr. Liao Fan to concentrate, to focus, and to think of others. And he taught him to practice giving. He taught him that everything is destined, but we can change that destiny. We change what is supposed to happen by thinking of others. I said earlier, everything arises from the mind. We can be in a good mood, and somebody can say something that irritates us. Suddenly, we're in a bad mood. There's that anger again. Or we can just not be in a very good mood. Not angry, just not feeling that great. Not that bad, not that great. Mediocre. And somebody will come up and say, you know, what you told me the other day was really good. That helped. I appreciate it. Suddenly, we feel really good. We're happy. We feel entirely differently than we did just a few minutes before. Nothing really changed. We're still in the same room. The day is still continuing. Nothing has really changed except one thing. What we're thinking and feeling, because we're telling ourselves something different. We're telling ourselves, oh, I did something that helped somebody. That was good. That makes me feel good. Everything arises from the mind. When we think we can do well, we will do well. If we tell ourselves, I haven't done well in this class before, I'm not going to do well now. When we tell ourselves at work, I just had a promotion. I can't do this. I haven't been trained to do this. My boss is asking me to do things I don't know how to do. If we tell ourselves we can't do them, we're setting ourselves up to fail. But if we say, okay, I haven't done this before. I'm not trained to do this. I was never trained in school to do this. I don't know how to do this. But I have been asked to do something. And I know what I am being asked to do will help others. So what I need to do is forget about myself. Forget about feeling I'm incompetent and can't do this. What I need to concentrate on is, if I do this, maybe I can help somebody. Maybe I can make their day better. Maybe I can teach them something. Maybe I can tell them one thing that will help them. Maybe they'll be in a bad mood, and I can tell them something that'll make them laugh, and that will help them. If this is why we do things, if we are sincerely trying to help others, we ourselves will be helped. We are in the human realm. That is one dimension. There are many, many other dimensions. They're all around us. There are other beings in other dimensions in this room. They're listening. They're watching. They know what we're thinking. They're with us all the time. Many of those beings are good, and they want good things for us. They want to help us. When they see we are trying to help others, they will try to help us. But if they see we're selfish, we're wrapped up in ourselves, we're doing things simply to benefit ourselves, we don't care about others, we don't care if we hurt others' feelings or if we do anything to others, they're not going to help us. When we are sincerely trying to help others, we will be helped. And we will find that we can do things that we really did not think we could do. And we'll surprise ourselves. And our parents will say, oh, thank goodness, they finally learned some of the things we taught them. And we will show our respect to our parents and our teachers by doing this. Think of others, not of ourselves. When we do this, we will do things that we did not think we were really able to do. And when we're thinking of others, we'll stop thinking of ourselves. And we will change our destiny. And perhaps in the future, we were not supposed to have a good life. But things will change for the better. It may take a while for this to happen. This is like being a captain of a great ocean liner. And you're on that ocean liner, and all the passengers say, oh, beautiful island over there. Let's go visit it. It's a big ocean liner. You don't just say, hey, fine, pilot, hit the brakes, turn around, let's go over the island. First, you have to slow the ship down. Then you gradually turn. Then you gradually turn back. So the process of changing what is supposed to happen takes time. But if we don't try, it's not going to happen. We cannot improve the future unless we do everything we can to the very best of our ability. I said everything is destined. Some of you may have had the thought going through your mind, oh, if it's destined that I don't pass the exam next week, why study? Hey, if I'm supposed to pass or fail, it'll happen. Doesn't work. We need to try our very, very best to do everything we can to pass that test. Because everything we do has a result. Things happen because of conditions, because of circumstances. A cause is like a seed. If we have a seed and we want it to grow, and we put it in a box, and put the box in a drawer and shut the drawer, odds are very great that seed will not grow. If we take the seed and plant it, water it, carefully take care of that seed, give it sunlight, it will grow. These are the proper conditions. The water, the sunlight, the caring for it is the proper condition that will make that cause grow. So we can control What is going to happen? By everything we do now, we try our very, very best to do everything that is correct, everything that is right. This is the way that we change our destiny, and this is the way we improve our lives. Amitabha, thank you.